You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
Basically, the trick is this. It's that if we can't explain something divine, it's not real. And if we can explain it, therefore it's not divine.
But the problem for us is the Mormon Church denies or distorts a lot of these basic teachings that have always made Christians what they are.
The sole infallible norm of all things is Scripture itself. Why? Because Scripture itself is the voice of God, whereas tradition doesn't occupy that exact same kind of role within the church.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
It's a long relationship these two men have, Paul and Timothy. Timothy travels with him, suffers with him. He gets left behind a couple times on purpose in order to kind of mop up after Paul has been through town. Eventually, Timothy finds himself as pastor in the city and the region around Ephesus, a big city, a pagan city, and in a lot of ways somewhat cut off from the rest of Christianity. And some of the most poignant words we have from the pen of the Apostle Paul, and some of the most stern instruction that we have from the pen of the Apostle Paul, is directed at least at first to Timothy, in at least two letters to him. We're going to be talking about Timothy as we teach a Sunday school lesson out of 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 1. Pastor Tom Baker will join us here in just a moment. Then we're going to spend some time in our series on classroom apologetics today, Political Science 101, Dr. Brent Burgess, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Concordia University, Texas, will be our guest. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Timothy, living as God's child, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Timothy was, at least for a time, pastor of Christian congregations in the city of Ephesus. What was it like for Christianity there?
Yes, it wasn't until Paul's third missionary journey that a number of Christian congregations began to sprout up around the Mediterranean Sea, and one of them was located at the city of Ephesus. Around 60 AD, Paul was taken as a prisoner to Rome. He was there for 2 years. But after he was released, he had further journeys, and he wrote letters to his student Timothy, who was in Ephesus. Ephesus would be about best described as being like the United States of America right now, except we have a few more Christians than they had in Ephesus, obviously. But there were plenty, as in the United States, of competing religions, and they were really trying to get the attention and support of the local congregation. The Greek culture had its own set of false gods, and then there were worshipers of Roman gods. Or remember, they often had similar gods, like the god of the sea had a different name in Rome than he would have in the Greek culture. Judaism, of course, was also one of the other faiths at that time. And then there were a whole set of philosophical systems. And that's kind of important comparing it to the United States. I just read an article this morning in our local newspaper that was talking about the whole subject of abortion should not be part of theology. It should be part of philosophy. And therefore, you can have different philosophical points of view. So there was a lot of competition in Ephesus at that time when Paul was writing to Timothy.
So talk about Timothy's time with Paul before he is a pastor. He joins Paul on his missionary journeys and then is, I assume at some point, either sent or left by Paul in Ephesus.
Yes. Timothy was advocate with Paul in the missionary journeys, and that's why Paul became quite interested in him, because he seemed to have the gift of sharing the message of Christianity properly, as he heard Paul do it in a number of situations. And so it's not at all surprising that Paul just doesn't write one letter to him. He writes two letters to him. And he's writing to him, the first one dated around 65 AD, to encourage and instruct Timothy as he called the Ephesians to be faithful to God's word. Therefore, this is an important kind of help for new pastors, what Paul is writing, because it gives us an indication of the close relationship Timothy had and Paul had. In fact, he compares Timothy's service in the church at Ephesus with the service of a father in a typical Greek household, and therefore each member must fulfill a role and a calling in service to the Lord of all. And so it's really a good thing for pastors to be reading, because Paul hits the right notes in the ministry of a pastor as he writes to Timothy.
One of the strong themes when Paul writes to Timothy is that Timothy would guard his doctrine and his life. Let's talk about the first one. Why is that so important, what it is that Timothy teaches?
He is in a situation where nobody agrees with Christian doctrine. Particularly, we can even see that in our day in the United States of America. So, the very first verse that the Sunday school lesson has, 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, he says, if you put these things, and he's talking about the doctrine, before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. And he even goes on and describes the opposite of good doctrine. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Now, we're filled with that in the United States of America. People who are born with a tendency toward immorality in sexual areas, we're now being told that, well, no, that's the way you were born. That's the way God intends you to be. That's nothing but a silly myth, trying to defend themselves in regard to irreverent, immoral behavior. And Timothy needs to be also an example. The very next verse says, train yourself for godliness. And Paul says, you know, bodily training is of some value, no doubt, but godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. See, this is the important point that needs to be made to members of Christian congregations. You're not going to church or Bible class in order to be saved. You already have been saved in the waters of baptism. But the reason that you're going to church and Bible class is because you are confronted with many wiles of the devil. He's very secretive. He's deceptive. And you need to understand how to counter that. And that's what sermons are to do. For example, I recently preached because some people were worried, what happens to children who have not been baptized and die? Are they going to heaven or hell? And the sermon showed four other ways that God reveals that he saves even infants apart from baptism. Now, none of them have the assurance of water baptism, that Pentecost baptism, as Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2. But there is no doubt these children that the Bible talks about were saved. Whether God continues to do it that way or not, only he knows. And so there is a hope we can have, and that often leads to comfort. See, that's the purpose of Christianity, to give comfort in a world of competing religions and philosophies that disagree with the Christian message. I believe you recently had Paul McCain on talking about the Small Catechism, and he made a wonderful point saying that this catechism not only needs to be used in Christian congregations, but also by parents in bringing their children up in the true nurture and admonition of the Lord. Excellent advice, and it's kind of following exactly what Paul here is saying to Timothy about keeping the words of the faith and of good doctrine.
The other thing he asks him to watch closely, commands him to watch closely, is his life. Guard both yourself and your teaching and your life. What is that about?
We are seeing what happens when that doesn't occur in the recent news breaking about the Roman Catholic Church and what many priests have been caught in doing. In fact, I had mentioned on my program that that probably stopped in 2002 when the Roman Catholic Church came down on it. But in today's news, they just have discovered another priest today, or this past week, who was looking at child pornography on the internet. And this is really something that occurs when you don't keep your life straight. Guess what? There are now Roman Catholics who are no longer going to church because of the lifestyle of some of these priests, no longer giving contributions. And that also happens in every denomination where even a pastor may fall from grace. It is really important that though a pastor can be forgiven for what he might have done that was illegal, immoral, etc., he should not continue in the ministry because he is supposed to be of a good reputation. The reason Paul says that is we tend not to listen to people who have found to be inappropriate in other areas of life. Why should we listen to them? And so Paul is really encouraging Timothy to lead a decent life because of our relationship to others in the congregation. We don't want to set a bad example and therefore give others an excuse why they no longer have to follow us. In fact, in the next passage, that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says that I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. And so he's making it very clear that he wants Timothy not only to preach doctrine properly, but to live a life of a good reputation for the sake of Jesus Christ.
So all of this goes together. Some would say, look, this is particular information for Timothy himself. This isn't intended to be broadly understood as applying to all pastors and to congregations. How would you understand that?
I can't think of a passage in the scripture that isn't needed by all of us in one occasion or another. I often told my members, we used the New King James when I was at a congregation for 28 years, and we would buy them, and I said, buy two or three copies, and then go through in a year and read it all and underline important parts. And then maybe two, three, four, 5 years later, take the new copy, read it, and underline them. And I guarantee you, you will end up having different underlinings than in the first copy. And that's because we have different experiences, we have different questions, etc. I learned something from this text when I made a mistake in the congregation. I was a pastor. I was out about 5 years from the seminary, and a Jewish couple came, visited me at my office and asked if they could have their child baptized. And I asked them what was the reason for this, since they were Jewish. They said, well, they have a grandmother in California, and she will take us out of the will if we don't baptize our child. Now, I'm thinking, well, this child isn't going to be brought up in the Christian faith with two Jewish people. They just want to do this in order to get in the will. So I refused to baptize the child. The next Sunday, I was sharing that with the Bible class at the congregation, and a lay woman asked me, you do remember that the grandmother wanted the child baptized. Could you not have made her the sponsor? And I'll tell you, the verse she used was this verse that Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Well, there was a grandmother who was telling Timothy from a very young age about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I decided I had made a mistake in not baptizing that child and making that other grandmother the sponsor, because she would have sent them literature and maybe Bible books. I would have helped her with that. But unfortunately, I did not have the address of that Jewish couple, never found them again. But I remember that as a mistake in my ministry, where I should have done the baptism and been listening to Paul as he talks about Timothy in regard to his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest of Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Timothy as a Child of God, in 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 1. When we come back, what kinds of false teachings was Timothy warned against, and do they still exist today?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Timothy. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon. Before the break, we were talking about how Timothy, from his youth, has known the Holy Scriptures, that he was baptized, he was brought up in the Christian faith by his grandmother. Chris Roseborough is going to be making the case for infant baptism. He even is going to provide an example from Scripture of baptismal regeneration at the Fall 2018 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Early bird registration ends on September 1st, and you can register at our website, issuesetc.org, or give us a call right here at the office any weekday during regular business hours, 618-223-8385, and we'll help you register for the Issues Etc. conference coming up November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Issuesetc.org or 618-223-8385. Tom, let's go back to the issue of the false doctrine that Paul warns Timothy against. What kinds of false doctrine might have been at work there in the Ephesian church? And do those false doctrines still exist and need warning today?
One would suggest that it all depends what religion. Judaism had the false teaching, of course, that you're saved by your works. You know, the Pharisees, thank God I'm not like that guy because I do this, I do that, etc. Then you had both the Roman gods and the other gods where you're saved by your obedience to what they have to say, and they'll get even with you. All these gods are a god of justice that gives you what you deserve. So people try and do really good in order to get what they don't deserve, namely heaven or whatever that is. Then there were philosophies, Greek philosophies particularly, that some of them didn't even believe in a god. But a lot of your movement forward was done because you had faith in yourself. If you want to hear that kind of philosophy, you just need to listen to a Joel Osteen, for example, where the cross is never mentioned, but faith in yourself, and then he'll sometimes say with the help of God, whatever that means, will move you forward. We're filled with Hinduism and other such Asian religions. As you know, I help out with Concordia Mission Society, and we have missionaries over there. Most of them are Muslims, but they have allowed us to put up a church. We built a church in Bishkek, and we are sending folks over to do Bible studies. We have home churches, etc. These people have never heard of the unique teaching of the Christian faith. We're saved by grace, and that's not a power source given to you. It's God's loving attitude given towards you when you don't deserve it, and you receive the benefits of the death of a man who is also God, who paid the price for your sins and gave heaven as your home, and then also dresses you in his robe of righteousness. None of this was taught by any of the other religions. And so it definitely was an uphill battle because Christians were persecuted for teaching such stuff because it meant loss of money in some of these other religions because of their selling of things that looked like idols and this sort of thing. So Timothy needed to have in Paul's mind not only a good reputation, but being courageous against the false teachings that are very similar to what we're going against here in the United States.
Are Paul's words to Timothy applicable not only to pastors, but to lay people, to even the Sunday school children themselves in some sense?
Yes. The Sunday school lesson does touch a bit on the Lord's Supper, but most of the Sunday school kids would not be receiving that. So what I would emphasize is, of course, the other sacrament for them, which is baptism. And what the children need to understand is, are you disobedient to your parents? I've asked that to a number of small children, and their first response is, no, I'm not. But then as we talk about it, yeah, I guess I didn't obey my mom or dad. And I said, did they kick you out of the house? Well, no. Why not? Because they love you. And that's the way Jesus is. He knows when you are disobedient to him. But because of your having been baptized, you have received a promise that what Jesus did on the cross, namely forgave your sins, which means he paid the punishment you deserve, that comes to you, and you will not be punished in heaven as a believer in Jesus Christ, but you will have a wonderful existence there with Jesus and all your friends who also believe in Jesus. And so we try and use things they're more familiar with in their own life to analyze what their future is and how much God truly loves them.
The life of Timothy in many ways kind of serves as an example because while it is addressed to him as a pastor of a congregation, it's also addressed to him as a convert to Christianity, but also a convert from a very young age. That would seem to be, he says, as you have known from your youth, the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. How does that speak both about and to the Sunday school children?
It talks to the Sunday school children. Now, the word youth in those days sometimes referred to a person up to 40 years old. Until they were 40, they were still considered youth. But we know that that was much younger also for Timothy, and that was because of his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, who is telling him about Jesus Christ. And so this is a lesson, not just for pastors, but for entire families. As I mentioned before, the responsibility of teaching the youth as they grow up. Now, I lived in a parsonage right beside that congregation of 28 years, but boy, was I busy and doing shut-in calls and hospital calls. And so I give a lot of credit to my wife, Louise, who would read the kids the Bible, maybe sing hymns with them, this sort of thing. And their faith definitely came, as did the faith of Timothy, from Eunice, his mother, and Lois, his grandmother. Now, obviously, they attended confirmation with me and were listening to my sermons and this sort of thing. But it doesn't mean that others in the family cannot take the opportunity. We have sponsors at baptisms, and we encourage the sponsors to give a gift on the birthday of the baptism each year, that birth date, in order to remind the children again of their relationship to Jesus Christ and his promises to them. So I believe that this section of Timothy is not only for pastors, not only for members of the family and sponsors, but also for children, that they should also be an example to others and share with them the message. Sometimes all it needs to take is, hey, we're having a vacation Bible school, and we're asked to bring anybody from the neighborhood. We'll be glad to give you a ride there. There's something to eat, and I know you'll enjoy the projects they do and also the teaching. That's the way even Sunday school children can witness to others.
Finally, with 30 seconds, the long gospel of this lesson about Timothy today.
The law is, a lot of times, many family members are seeing their children give in to the philosophies of their day, especially those with certain immorality attached to them. The gospel is keeping the child involved in proper doctrine will help them counter those philosophies and those false religions and help them to grow in their faith of their only Savior, that is Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to be in part 9 of our series on classroom apologetics today, Political Science 101 with Dr. Brett Burgess, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Concordia University, Texas.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
When you pray, give us this day our daily bread. What do you mean by daily bread? What do you really need to live? If you've ever puzzled over questions like these, you won't want to miss the August issue of The Lutheran Witness. With articles on downsizing, giving, and yes, what we mean by our daily bread, you're sure to come away with a more biblical view of wealth and poverty, possessions and generosity. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/hr.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.